All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, June 11th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday. It's almost Friday. I know I look forward to Friday every week. Not that it really means anything, because this is just the hamster wheel that goes around and around again. Where it stops, nobody knows. But hey, as long as it hasn't stopped yet, it means that I'm still here. It's 66 degrees and sunny here in upstate New York today. We had a couple nice, big, juicy storms come through and got dosed pretty well with water yesterday. But I think today it's supposed to be pretty nice. So where do we leave off with? This is just the continuing saga of documenting the dystopian future that's on our doorstep. I titled the show yesterday, Eggs, Brain Hacking, Drone Cyborgs, and Immortality. I don't know. We talked about all that stuff, little bits and pieces. I'm not really sure what I feel like talking about today. There's a couple little updates, but I hate doing updates because then they totally derail the show. But I guess we can. We were looking at pathogens. We've been looking at pathogens for months on end now. A couple of the things I see. The CDC is now issuing a MERS alert for MERS in South Korea. The number is up to 14, I believe. Let me see. 14 new cases of MERS, yes. And believe it or not, Ebola is back in the picture. The World Health Organization is warning that Ebola cases are on the rise in two African states. So I don't know if you guys want to even listen to any of that. I'm getting pretty sick and tired of pathogens everywhere under every bed. We're going to call them isogens. It's just as much as ISIS. You know, there was, and I don't remember what it was called. Damn it, I was just looking at it too. It was a movie from the 1970s called Flashpoint something point. I don't know. I'll have to see. I don't remember what it was, but it was all about a society in the future where they were moving from an industrialized society to a super industrialized society, which made me think, oh, you mean like all of our jobs being taken by robots? Yes, just like that. And in that society, what they did was they pummeled the population with so much information that they not only couldn't absorb it all, but they retreated to their own little happy world because they couldn't deal with it all. And I got to tell you, I really, really, really think that that's what's happening right now. I think that that's why the majority of the public doesn't want to know, doesn't see, because it's just too much for their brains to comprehend. Things have become so complicated and convoluted, and it's not a pretty picture that's being painted, put on the evening news, unless they're talking about Bin Laden's porn. Nobody's paying attention, right? Or Kardashian's butt. But people just go into their happy little world. And as the dopamine dangling carrot dangles in front of you with your mobile devices and video games and reality television, that becomes a much happier place to be. And we actually talked about a study that I read one time, a few months back, where they had done some research on using MRIs and fMRIs on people's brains and having them watch reruns on television. And I don't know if you remember this episode or not, but if not, I'll quickly regurgitate what the findings were. They found that people felt love and happiness when they were watching reruns on television, and they were producing those love chemicals like oxytocin while watching these television shows. And it's pretty interesting because it shows how a constructed reality can be interacted with as if it were reality. And I really think that that is where this is all going. This whole transhumanism, 3D virtual reality, super realistic games now, and these Google Glass, Google Goggles. I mean, they're merging reality in the machine, and that's what they want. They want you to sit there with open arms, and at some point in the future, as our complete ecosystem is destroyed and biology has been usurped by synthetic biology, because nothing will be able to survive here anymore, we will willingly accept it, because that will be the only way to survive. And by the way, you can make your own reality in a place like that. I don't know. That was just kind of a side note, but it's something that I've thought about long and hard. It's something that goes through my head a lot, and I just try and connect all these dots together. It's all about the algorithm, people. Remember, it's all about the algorithm. I caught a story this morning, and very briefly, I had read about Google's vault. This was a story from August of 2014. So we're already, what, almost a year later. I probably should do some searches after the show, see if we can get an update on this. But it is out of Science Alert magazine. It is an Australian publication. Google's knowledge vault already contains 1.6 billion facts. And I believe this is one of the ancillary projects to their artificial intelligence brain project. Google has decided to create the largest store of knowledge in human history. Yes, the Electronic Library of Alexandria. And it's going to create it without using human brain power. Google's Knowledge Vault is a massive database of facts built up by an algorithm, ding ding, that autonomously trawls the web and transforms data into usable bite-sized pieces of information. You know, there was also a Google project that I had read about, oh, probably a year or two ago now, that had talked about Google's application where they were scraping unstructured data. See, if the data is not in a database, it's unstructured and it's all over. And it could be anything. I mean, it's in your email, it's in your chats, it's in your Facebook, it's in your Twitter, it's in your phone, it's everywhere. So what they want to be able to do is not only take data from disparate places and correlate that together, but they want to also be able to scrape unstructured data, sentences, slang, and that type of thing. I mean, if you use chat enough, you start to shorten things and use lots of abbreviations. And they want to be able to crack those nuts by using the context around it. And they were hoping that their artificial intelligent machine, whatever they're going to call it now, I don't know, there have been so many names and so many projects, but it's all connecting back to the same thing, people. But they want to be able to use that, of course, to spy and to know what you're thinking, what you're talking about at all times. All right, anyway, let's read about this Google's Knowledge Vault. Google's Knowledge Vault, known as Knowledge Graph, so there's another name to add to the list, used crowdsourcing techniques, but Google realized that humans could only take the project so far. Computers could drastically speed up the process. To date, the Knowledge Vault contains over 1.6 billion facts, and this huge fact reservoir will be the basis of future search engines. Interesting. You know, one of the things about search engines, too, is as Google indexes more, and as they start looking at your search histories and things that you search for to target your, let's say, advertising, they also are doing the same thing with your search results. They are anticipating. This is that, what was it called? Augmented cognition. That's what they were talking about. Once they implant the chip in your head and it scans your brain and eventually it'll be from birth, so it'll know every experience you ever had. And this augmented cognition is going to help you, puny human, sort through your tasks and the knowledge that is important to you. Well, pretty much that's what Google search engine does now. It searches through and it tries to pull up the top results that are pertinent to you. And there's all kinds of other algorithms going on the back end that will dictate placement and your search engine optimization. But I'm just saying they're doing that now. So your search results may not be the same as mine. And the end result I see of that is it will become easier and easier to censor things from the internet. Anyway, let's get back to, I digress. I was setting up future stories here that we're going to talk about after this. To get back to the story, to date, the Knowledge Vault contains over 1.6 billion facts. This huge fact reservoir will be the basis of future search engines. Google is currently racing Microsoft, Facebook, Amazon, and IBM, who are all attempting to build the same kind of database. Yes, an artificial intelligence. Yes, yes, yes. That's all what they're all doing. Notice how they don't mention that in here. The Knowledge Vault will be the foundation for smartphone and robot intelligence. There we go. Siri is going to get a lot better at interpreting what you mean when you ask her questions in the future. And we saw a video that came off of Pigmind's channel back probably 3-4 months ago already. It was the director of DARPA doing an interview, and she admitted that Siri is a DARPA creation. So anyone who listens to Apple saying, no, we're not letting the government spy on you, just know that Siri, which comes standard on your Apple iPhone, was a DARPA creation. And, you know, DARPA has so many fingers and so many pies. I've talked before about Tor and people using the dark web. And actually, we should touch on that story, too, because there are a couple things that were very important about a bunch of stuff in the electronic world over the last few days. Tor, that allows you to hide your browsing history, maybe not even history, but maybe your location and where you're going by bouncing you through bunches of different routers and pretty much layering it like an onion using encryption that supposedly isn't hackable or crackable. But if you dig back into the history of Tor, you will find out that there's DARPA money in there too, which means federal government, black ops, CIA, all the crap that we now know is truth through leaks of what's been going on. But we've been talking about for years, and people called us paranoid. I'm not going to be called paranoid anymore. I've been doing this stuff for a long time, and the writing is on the wall. And if you don't want to see it and go live in your happy little electronic world, I mean, that's exactly the way that it was planned. It's an alter knowledge, an alter reality. And in the meantime, we have these artificially intelligent monsters that are sucking up all the knowledge that we put out there before we became vacuous creatures sucked into the machine. It's just really, it is not the type of future that I am looking forward to for my child. And that's why, that's what drives me on a daily basis. And people just don't want to hear this. Anyway, back to the article. The algorithm is indiscriminate and will build information equally on places, people, history, science, and popular culture. This has raised some privacy concerns, as the program can access quote-unquote backstage information, such as data hidden behind websites like Amazon, YouTube, and Google+. What does that mean? They can go through and scrape your profiles probably too. I mean, maybe they'll even allow them to get into some of the hidden files that are your proprietary code in the background. I don't know. I don't know what that means. In the future, here we go. Ding, ding. Virtual assistants. That was that augmented reality of the future. I'm sure your virtual assistants will be on your desktop to start with, and then they're going to be offering upgrades. In the future, virtual assistants will be able to use the database to make decisions about what does and what does not matter to us. There you go. That's exactly what I was just saying. Our computers will get better at finding information that we are looking for. And yes, we need the computer to what? Anticipate our needs. People, this is going to be the utopia. Kick back and have a cocktail with a pretty little umbrella, because the computer's going to do all the work. You won't need to do any jobs anymore. You won't need to think anymore, and you won't need to live anymore. And I think that's going to be the end result. If there ever was a term used appropriately for useless eater, it is the society of the future that I'm seeing painted. But hey, there won't be any food, as we're seeing 46 million chickens and turkeys being culled in the worst outbreak ever. And now the need to import eggs and mad cow, cancerous cows, botulism, worst ever, antibiotic resistant in foods. Oh my God. When I just see this, I mean, it's not, I used to kind of laugh snarkily. I like that word, snarkily. I-L-Y. I used to laugh sarcastically at some of this stuff because it was funny, kind of, in a sick sort of way. But it's not funny anymore at all. It really isn't. I was a fan of science fiction. I'm not anymore. I want to be a Luddite. SLC Mike wants to start the school of the Luddites. I'm in. All right. Anyway, our computers will get better at finding the information we are looking for and are anticipating our needs. The knowledge vault is also going to be able to find correlations that humans would miss by sifting through enormous amounts of information. This could provide the means for massive medical breakthroughs. Of course, it's always about saving you. Discovering the trends in human history and predictions of the future. Yes, let's translate that. Future thought crimes. Correlating who's related to someone, who's talking to someone, who's talking to someone, who's talking to someone who made some incendiary comment in a comment section on an obscure website. Yes, you are now on the red list. Wow, wasn't that easy? And we've talked about him, IBM's Watson. That's IBM's artificial intelligence project. Been going on for quite a long time. And we did a whole bunch of days on Watson, IBM's founder, and the numbering system, and the Nazis. So if you want to learn about that, and Plum Island, we tied that in there too. If you want to go back to those were probably back in January. You can hit my playlist on youtube.com/UCYTV, no dot. And you'll see the Before the First Cup playlist. Scroll down back to January, and you'll see it in the title. Those were pretty interesting. We dug up some really damning stuff on IBM and IBM Watson, precision medicine, genomics, that type of thing. Anyway, IBM's Watson, yes, oh, is already playing a role in cancer research at Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York. And once the knowledge vault can interpret objects on site, and we just read about that recently, how Google was claiming that their artificial intelligence could identify the most objects ever ocularly. But then Beidou, which is the competitor to Google out of China, and I believe one of their lead artificial intelligence scientists had actually gone to Beidou, they now claim that they have the record. One little tidbit we talked about that is that Beidou is using Intel processors, and they were clustering them in supercomputer format. And now the State Department got involved and a bunch of other federal entities, and they have banned Beidou and China in particular from buying those processors under the guise of national security. You know, I don't know. It's been done. They did it with encryption, but I don't think it ever stopped anybody. Beidou is just going to find a new processor manufacturer or probably go to Apple. Maybe they'll get it sourced through Apple. Apple dumped all of their RISC-based processors and went to the Intel-based platform quite a number of years ago already. But remember, Apple and the Chinese government are in close ties, and we talked about that as well. All right. Anyway, I don't want to get too distracted here. Says, once the knowledge vault can interpret objects on site, so we know that it's already doing that, it will become integral to real-time information generation. And after what we read yesterday with the drones, Verizon and NASA working together using all the cell phone towers across the United States to help help regulate drone traffic, future coming drone traffic, which, by the way, the FAA just approved in April, which I totally missed that, approved Amazon using delivery drones. They're still trying to work out some of the kinks in like the final laws, but they approved them to start testing. So now we find out that NASA and Verizon are going to be working together to triangulate using satellites and cell phone towers. And then we read a financial publication yesterday that was looking at the growing market of, what were they calling it, flying cameras, using HD video on drones. A whole bunch of insurance companies have now been approved. I think one was AIG and one was State Farm. And I don't know, the third one was one I didn't recognize. But they're going to be able to fly over your house and stream live HD video to the cloud. Put it in your dossier. But I found out with this last property assessment, that is already what some of the towns and counties are doing for property reassessment and taxing, by the way. we'd also read, oh, quite a while ago about real estate agents were doing that. They were flying drones over and getting aerial photographs to post in their online sales posting. Put on a seatbelt. I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore. And the genie is way out of the bottle now. And now they've popped the tops on every champagne bottle that had a genie in it worldwide, I'm afraid. At least we're sitting at the front of the roller coaster. That's the way I see it. You know, where would you rather be? In the front where you could see, or in the back where all you feel are the effects? I personally, every time, I haven't ridden a roller coaster in many, 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 many years. But when I was a kid, I was such a thrill seeker, adrenaline seeker like that. And I always sat in the front. Anyway, all right. I'm going to read this one more time. Once the knowledge vault can interpret objects on site, it will become integral to the real-time information generation. And, you know, way, way back when I first started doing this show, and I can't seem to get past the sentence, it seems. One of my very earliest Before the First Cups, where I was just like freewheeling it. I had no idea even what the show was going to be about. I was just talking. And one of the things I had had a really horrible thought about was when I discovered that those digital billboards that they now have on the side of interstates, especially, where in the old days it used to be just a big billboard and they'd have to go up with the glue and the big broom. You'd have two or three guys up there putting it up and then ripping it down every month as the next person who rented the space got their poster up there. Now they have these digital billboards. And when I started digging into the digital billboards, I found out a couple really interesting things. And one is that a large number of them are owned by Clear Channel Entertainment. But another thing that I discovered is back in like, must have been like 2008, maybe. Maybe it was 2009. It had been quite a number of years already. The FBI had already partnered with Clear Channel Entertainment. And this is long before now we have this like everybody in bed with everybody. You know, and now because of cyber terror attacks all over the globe, oh my God, be afraid. Now we have to have all these new cyber laws being jammed down our throat and the FCC taking over the internet. The death of the internet as we knew it has happened. But long before those days when they really pushed the envelope, they had already made this partnership between the FBI and Clear Channel. And it wasn't for a bad reason. Again, it's always, you know, to save somebody, or it's for the children, or it's for the invalid, or it's for the disease. Because those are the most vulnerable. Those are the people that will be most willing to stand there with their tongue out, accepting the communion. But in this case, the partnership between the FBI and Clear Channel happened to be for the Amber Alert program. So if a child went missing in your general area, and of course they know exactly the geolocation of every single one of these billboards, they'll be able to broadcast real-time photographs and alerts. So you can look out for the individual, the car, the kid, whatever information they have. And when we know about the surveillance that's already going on in all the cities with the license plate cameras and the red light cameras, and I mean, cameras and microphones and freaking streetlights, I mean, they have stuff everywhere. And it goes way beyond that. That Argus, I think it was called Argus, DARPA, flying forever above you, way, way up, so you'd never even see a drone. That's got the 1.8, I don't even remember, petapixel, I think it was, like some insanely high, never before seen resolution camera that was flying over you 24/7 and just storing data forever in the cloud somewhere, so that if there was a crime at some point, or they were chasing a fugitive at some point, apparently they must not have it up over Clinton County here in New York. You'd think, though, because it was right near the Canadian border, they'd be able to rewind that and watch you from before it happened until where you are presently. But long before that, they had these digital billboard systems. So I was a fan of sci-fi growing up. I distinctly remember the Running Man. If you remember, if they stop, they get shot. It was like a real life Coliseum. People watched it on TV. It was Richard Dawson. Remember, it was a game show. You were running for your life, and if you failed, you were executed. I started thinking about the digital billboards, and I was like, wow. As they're training reporters now in journalism school to fly drones for getting a scoop, and we have surveillance in every way, shape, and form, upside down and sideways, how much longer is it going to be? I mean, how many fugitive chases now have we seen? Dorner, Boston Marathon, right? We had both those videos. Now we have all these videos, door-to-door searches up in upstate, upper northern New York, where those two convicts broke out of that Clinton prison. And I'm sure there have been others. South Carolina, didn't they have one down there? I don't know. But at least those three, I distinctly remember seeing the videos of door-to-door searches and complete and utter lockdown. How long is it going to be before they're hunting one of us, okay? It's not ISIS. It's not your kids being radicalized over the internet. It's not some jihadi that crossed the Mexican border. It is one of us that, for whatever reason, whatever keyword you typed in or sequence of keywords that alerted the algorithm that you're on that top of the morning red list, how long is it going to be before a drone buzzes your house? Amazon knows where we all live. They sure as hell do. Bzzz. And that drone buzzes your house and starts getting live video. So now you're shitting your pants. You're like, holy shit, what do I do? Let's say you go on the run. How long is it going to be before they start live broadcasting through Clear Channel Entertainment? And that's just one of many that own some of these billboards, but they're the biggest that I saw. Real-time live imagery of you getting away with your coordinates. I mean, you got your cell phone on you. Whoops! We discovered that your cell phone gives it all away. They can follow your metadata, and they can triangulate you between cell phone towers. Even if they didn't have your exact location, they got it. They know where you are. And I think that they know even more than what they tell us. Because don't forget, there's that secret. Oh, I don't remember what that secret cell phone program is going on right now, but there's a big lawsuit, privacy lawsuit going on in Buffalo, New York, I believe, because they used that to catch some criminal, and they were saying it was some sort of, not invasion of privacy, but as part of the criminal suit, they wanted them to divulge how it actually worked. And they won't allow them to. The federal government will not allow them to. And there was another case actually using that same technology that the feds actually dropped the case against the suspect because they were going to be forced to divulge how that program worked. Damn it. You know what? Let's go to chat because this would be a great opportunity for the hypothetical UCYQP doll. What was that program called? Does anyone know? It was like Stingray or... Yes, thank you, Hopper. It is Stingray. Thank you very much. So they're not allowed to divulge even how that works, so who the hell knows? But anyway, I just totally 100% lost my train of thought. Let's finish the last two paragraphs on this story about knowledge vault from Google. Oh, I know. So I was talking about the digital billboards. How long is it going to be before we are broadcast? And then think about this. Like, the way YouTube works now, YouTube, to me, 2007, when I first saw Google Video, and then YouTube, and then I found out Google Video bought YouTube, and people all over the world were just streaming their lives on YouTube. There was really no news or anything out there yet. Video was just in its real infancy. We just gotten enough bandwidth to be able to watch video without having to worry about it being choppy. It was actually enjoyable to watch video by that point. And people were streaming their lives from all over the world, and I just found it so damn interesting because I love learning about how other people live and what other people do and how different parts of the world see the world that I see, because it's never the same. Everybody sees the world differently. It's subjective. But how long is it going to be? I mean, they've already convinced at least this last generation and probably the one before that and even the one before that The privacy doesn't exist, and you shouldn't want privacy. You should want to broadcast everything you do, every bite you eat, every shit you take to the world because somebody cares. We've created the society of narcissists. It is the society of narcissists that all they talk about is them. Do their selfies, but it's beyond the selfie. It's going to be live streaming yourself 24/7. And I mean, we could do that now. But how long is it going to be now that we've gotten rid of any modicum of privacy? That when they're streaming you running away and nobody even knows why they're chasing you, you have not been proven guilty. But it is not you are innocent until proven guilty anymore. You are guilty until you prove yourself innocent is what it is now. And people are just so deluded by this reality that they've been handed in the virtual world and believing everything they're told, that when they see that you're on there and the cops are chasing you, they're all going to be cheering in the Coliseum to see blood, blood, bloodlust. It's an adrenaline fix. It'll be free entertainment for all. I got to tell you, I don't see that too far off. I don't even know if I ever archived those shows, by the way, that talked about the digital billboards. But I distinctly remember that one because that was a really horrifying thought for me. Anyway, all right, last two paragraphs of the story, and then I have some connecting dots. Once the knowledge vault can interpret objects on site, it will become integral to real-time information generation. And one day, you might be able to walk around, point your phone at an object, and ask a question about it and receive an intelligent response. Oh, how great is that going to be? Doing 230-point facial recognition at the micro blink of an eye. At the conference on knowledge discovery and data mining in New York on August 25th, 2014, Kevin Murphy and his team will present a paper on the knowledge vault. So there you go. That already happens. It's interesting, too, because I don't really ever deal with things such as Bilderberger. Bilderberg. Hold on. Let's see if I can find it. Bilderberg. Bilderberg. I don't even know where it's being held this year. Bilderberg. Come on, I know it was down like a day or two, but you guys can listen to me sing until I get there. Bilderberg. Oh, let's go. Bilderberg. Meeting in Austria. This is at RT, actually, from the 9th, 2 days ago. Surprise, surprise. Bilderberg goes IT. Shadowy club to talk about AI and cybersecurity. Who'd have thunk it? All right, I'm going to read this. In between pontificating on the U.S. election, Greece's turmoil, and the position of Russia, participants in the shadowy Bilderberg conference are going to discuss the development of artificial intelligence and the risks of cyberspace. The club has been bringing, and I actually just saw a story yesterday that Regina Duggan. Regina Duggan, the DARPA babe who went to Google, who took over the Android market, the Motorola market, and then really got into all the smart homes and smart technology, the swallowing my superpower bitch. Yes, her. I read that she was actually going to be there as well. The club that has been bringing together the West's most influential financiers, media moguls, industry captains, politicians, and royalty for over six decades is meeting this week in Austria. Some 140 guests are to visit the Telfs Buchen Alpine Resort, where this year's conference is to be held just 20 kilometers from the site of the G7 summit. Oh, how convenient. They can ferry between there. The group has published its agenda and guest list ahead of the four-day private event. Maybe we'll look at the guests after. From politicians, it brings together two current European prime ministers, Mark Rutte of the Netherlands and Charles Michel of Belgium, and several ministers such as UK Chancellor of the some freaking exchequer, George Osborne, German defense minister Ursula von der Leyen, and Finnish finance minister Alexander Stubb. A lower tier of public officials in the group includes U.S. top diplomats for combating ISIS, of course, John Allen. Prominent international organizations are represented by figures such as Benokur, which is Good Heart. I don't know who that is. Member of the executive board at the European Central Bank. Intelligence community is represented by Tom Akernickel, who has the Danish Secret Service, DDIS, who would be able to talk shop with former CIA Director David Petraeus, and the latter is announced as chairman of the private equity firm KKR Global Institute. Bilderberg's Henry Kissinger, Nixon's former Secretary of State and National Security Advisor, is listed as head of Kissinger Associates. I really didn't want to read the guest list. It just goes on and on and on. And also tech titans, LinkedIn, Google, and others, JP Morgan, Deutsche Bank, HSBC, Goldman Sachs, the Royal Dutch Shell, and BP, Siemens, Airbus, Bloomberg, The Economist, blah, 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 blah. Less political topics are cybersecurity and artificial intelligence, of which, hey, here's another one, Google's DeepMind AI project head Demise Habibis will probably have something to say. The search giant also has chairman Eric Schmidt, yes, Mr. Immortality himself, and vice president of engineering Regina Duggan. So I guess she's still there. She's still at Google. Somebody had told me that she left there, but... they're calling your vice president of engineering still for Google. Little information is expected to leak through the walls, of course, from the hard-to-reach Austrian resort. No public statements are forthcoming after the meeting. Blah, 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 blah. I really don't care. It's just interesting that they're going to be talking AI and cybersecurity because you know that they've been lining that all up. We saw the hacking of 4 million names through the federal personnel office last week, and then the hacking of the Army website as well. ISIS, of course, is using the internet. Here's something, actually. Though there were a couple other things I wanted to talk about, but... You know, I was saying about running and having your cell phone, and even if you have your GPS shut off, that they could triangulate you between cell phone towers. Well, here's even one better. New Wi-Fi tracking system counts people even without connecting a device. Many scientists have issued health warnings about near ubiquitous presence of Wi-Fi in our homes and in public. Now there might be a new concern on the horizon, public Wi-Fi signals that can identify and track groups of individuals, even if they are not holding a personal connected device. As we have come to learn, one of the hallmarks of technology is dual or multi-use capability, and it is for this reason that we softened up with all of the benefits before being introduced to the darker side. And that's what I'm saying. Like, people are just so dumb. They open their arms because it's the new dangling carrot, the new dopamine dose that they're going to get by getting their new device. But what you don't realize is each new device gets better at tracking you, better at surveilling you, better at listening to you and sucking your data. Researchers continue to pursue invisible, pervasive ways to track human beings. Below is a chronicle of how Wi-Fi signals are being used in new creative ways to ensure that whether or not you have opted out of the latest gadgetry, you will still be caught in an ever-widening net of the latest surveillance technology. Y-Track, it's called. Y-Track operates by tracking specialized radio signals reflected off of a person's body to pinpoint location and movement, and they had found that they were already doing this inside your homes for a long time from outside. They literally could see through your walls using your home Wi-Fi to see who was in a room. The system uses multiple antennas, one for transmitting signal and three for receiving, and the system then builds a geometric model, so it's using triangulation again, of the user's location by transmitting signals between antennas and using the reflections off a person's body to estimate the distance between the antennas and the user. Y-Track is able to locate motion with a significantly increased accuracy, so even your motion, as opposed to tracking devices that rely on wireless signals. Because of limited bandwidth, you cannot get very high location accuracy using Wi-Fi signals, but Y-Track transmits a very low power radio signal 100 times faster and smaller. Wait, 100 times smaller than Wi-Fi and 1,000 times smaller than what your cell phone can transmit. But the signal is structured in a particular way to measure the time from when the signal was transmitted until it reflects back. Y-Track has geometric models that map reflection delays to the exact location of the person. So it's doing it in like a time delay. So it gets you, or a fast forward maybe. So it gets you in your exact position. And as if on cue, we have been presented with all of the enormous benefits of this low-cost technology while being given none of the potential negatives. In this video, we see, and there is a video here. Let's see if, I haven't played any videos, so I'm sure 43 minutes of me talking is probably a lot. So I'll give you guys, I'll give your ears a break. Let's see if there's any audio to this demonstration.
Y-Track is a new technology that performs 3D motion tracking of a person purely using radio reflections of her body, even if the person is moving behind a wall or furniture.
And guess where it came from? It shows on the introductory slide. Oh, yes, good old MIT.
Y-Track is placed behind the wall of this room, as indicated by the red arrow. As the person walks around in the room, it tracks his motion through the wall. In the adjacent room, Y-Track outputs the location of the person as a red dot on the screen. As the person moves around behind the wall, the red dot moves on the screen, indicating his exact location at any point in time. So let us see how Y-Track works. Y-Track performs 3D motion tracking using body radio reflections. It transmits wireless signals whose power is 100 times less than Wi-Fi and 1,000 times smaller than cell phone transmissions. These signals will reflect off the person and come back to its receive antennas after some delay. Y-Track.
Yeah, he's just regurgitating what I just said. It says, in the video, we see the convenience element that would fit into various applications such as smart homes and the Internet of Things. Oh, yes, good old Regina Duggan. That is what she's in charge of now. Secondly, our video games, which would take the somewhat cumbersome Wii to entirely new levels, and good old leave it to MIT to pimp two of the most military-oriented games on the market that would benefit, like Call of Duty or Battlefield. All right, that's enough of that garbage. So just know, even if you don't have a cell phone that's spying on you 24/7, it doesn't protect you at all. Of course, they're going to go after hackers. We heard about this story probably, I'd say, a good year ago, but it's coming back to the forefront again. Oh, yes, hackers can send fatal doses of hospital drugs to drug pumps. Yes, nothing is secure. Nothing ever is secure. When here, let's kill us. When security researcher Billy Rios reported earlier this year that he found vulnerabilities in a popular drug infusion pump that would allow a hacker to raise the drug dosage limit on medication delivered to patients, there was little cause for concern. Altering the allowable limits of a particular drug simply meant that if a caregiver accidentally instructed the pump to give it too high or too low of a dosage, the pump wouldn't issue an alert. This seemed much less alarming than if the pumps had vulnerabilities that would allow a hacker to actually alter the dosage itself. Now Rio says he's found even a more serious vulnerability in several models of pumps made by the same manufacturer, which would allow a hacker to surreptitiously and remotely change the amount of drug administered to a patient. This is the first time that we know we can change the dose, he told Wired. I swear to God there was a video about that way back when, but maybe not. The vulnerabilities include the company's standard This is the company drug infusion pump made by Hospira, an Illinois firm with more than 400,000 intravenous drug pumps installed in hospitals worldwide. And this is coming out of Wired. I don't trust Wired. Wired always plays both sides of the fence, and they seem to get some real insider information at times about DARPA technology that makes me go, hmm. Says earlier this year, Rios went public with information about a different security issue with Hospira's pumps. This one involved drug libraries used with pumps, which help set upper and lower boundaries for dosages of intravenous drugs. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I really don't care. Hospira denied problem with the pumps. He said when he first told Hospira a year ago that hackers could update the firmware on its pumps, they didn't believe it could be done. He now plans to demonstrate a proof of concept attack. Oh, look out, Rios. Next month at the SummerCon security conference in Brooklyn, New York. Be afraid, be very afraid, because the hackers can now get into your hospital room. What a great reason for the federal government, the FCC, to be taking over the internet. I want to mention, too, I don't think I talked about this on air. I talked about it in chat yesterday. Albrecht, the guy who was tried and convicted of life without parole for the creation of Silk Road. If you remember, I mentioned Tor earlier. If you remember, they caught him. I think he was Pirate Roberts, Pirate something Roberts. And they caught him through some back door where he had logged in somewhere and didn't completely erase his tracks. And then he posted in a forum or whatever. And somehow they managed to triangulate him. But he was convicted of 20 years to life or life in prison, no parole. There's no parole at all. And I think it's life. Well, I don't think it's life. I know it's life, but there's no parole ever. And there's a couple issues here. I mean, there definitely has been proven to be some sort of criminal activity that happened on a site. As to whether or not he had anything, any firsthand to do with any of that. Hey, for any of us who's ever had a website and you had a section where people could post things, you most certainly don't want to be held responsible for what anybody does on your website, okay? I've always been pretty cognizant of that. If you're going to embed something, make sure it's not coming from you where you're the owner of the source of the data, where others are going to be involved that you have no control over. So regardless of what happened, they held him responsible for a lot of things that I don't think personally should have been held responsible for. But on the other hand, he knew that it was going on. So, you know, did he go in there and wag a finger? Did he just let it go? I don't know. But I mean, that's something that this trial just decided. We're going to have to all be careful about what we put out there, what we host, what our name is on. But even further beyond that, then came another case now that I saw yesterday where the courts, and hold on 1 second, because I don't remember which court it was, but a judge subpoenaed Reason.com, Reason Magazine, to give up IP information on visitors to their website that left comments to the story about Albrecht being convicted. And in those comments, well, here, let me read this. Reason Magazine subpoenaed over reader comments about Silk Road Judge. And this is where I'm going to have to say big, big, big caution, people, because now they're going after, and not that there have been cases in the past before, but they're really clamping down now. This whole takeover of the internet, they're going to make some examples. They're going to wave them in your faces, and they want to get rid of anonymity. That's what it's all about. You have to use your biometrics, and that won't be too far in the future. Windows 10 is using a complicated biometrics that not only uses like physical features, whether it be your facial recognition or a thumbprint or, you know, your voice print, but they're also using bodily movements and how you type in an algorithm to decide whether or not it really is you. Anyway, let's read the story quick. Federal prosecutors have demanded that libertarian news site Reason.com help them identify readers who discussed killing a federal judge, including via a wood chipper, in the comments section of an article about Silk Road founder Ross Ulbricht. This is out of Wall Street Journal. A June 2nd grand jury subpoena obtained by Pope Hat's Ken White asks Reason to provide, quote, any and all identifying information, unquote, for readers who wrote macabre comments in reaction to the life sentence Mr. Ulbricht received from U.S. District Judge Catherine Forrest in Manhattan. Quote, it's judges like that should be taken out back and shot, said one comment. Why waste the ammunition, said another comment. Wood chippers get the message across clearly, especially if you feed them in feet first. And I'm not laughing, but who hasn't seen comments like that by people who are pissed off by something, okay? Doesn't mean that someone's going to go get a wood chipper and go find somebody. Doesn't mean that someone's going to go shoot somebody. It's just internet comments. That's all it is, people. And anyone who's been on the internet for any length of time knows that. Lots and lots of internet trolls. The internet, you say whatever you want because it's a pretend world, right? Well, not so fast. In all, 8 comments are reproduced in the subpoenas, but they no longer appear on Reason's website. The subpoena requests that Reason provide the information by next Tuesday. Reason managing editor Catherine Mangal Ward declined to comment on the subpoena, as did a spokeswoman for the U.S. Attorney Preet Bharad, whose office is handling the grand jury investigation. A call to Judge Forrest Chambers wasn't returned immediately. I don't know if it says it in here, but in the other story that I read, what the subpoena says, which they were told to keep secret, by the way, is that there's a law threatening a judge, you can face up to 10 years in federal prison. This does not say this in here anywhere. That's interesting. So really put on a seatbelt, because if trolley comments can get a federal subpoena and get your IP address and the individual who posted that comment have revealed, look out, internet trolls. It is the end of anonymity. That is exactly what they're pushing for. Smuckerberg's sister, who was in charge of, marketing at Google at one point, had come out and said that a long time ago. The internet's no place for anonymity. All right, very, very, very last story that I have time for today, and there's a lot more. How the CIA made Google. Inside the Secret Network Behind Mass Surveillance, Endless War in Skynet, Part 1, by Nafid Ahmed. In Surge Intelligence, a new crowd-funded investigative journalism project breaks this exclusive story of how the United States intelligence community funded, nurtured, and incubated Google as a part of the drive to dominate the world through control of information. Seed funded by the NSA and CIA, Google was merely the first among a plethora of private sector startups co-opted by the U.S. intelligence to retain, quote, information superiority. The origins of this ingenious strategy track back to a secret Pentagon-sponsored group that for the last 2 decades has functioned as a bridge between the United States government and the elites across the business, industry, finance, corporate, and media sectors. The group has allowed some of the most powerful special interests in corporate America to systematically circumvent democratic accountability and the rule of law to influence government policies as well as public opinion in the U.S. and around the world. And the results have been catastrophic. NSA mass surveillance, a permanent state of global war, and a new initiative to transform the U.S. military into Skynet. And the fact that Google, you know, this is my own take here, the fact that Google bought 8 military robotics companies to boot has to tell you that this isn't bullshit. I'm telling you, we know even the internet itself was part of ARPANET, which means that the government and the previous incarnation of DARPA had a hand in it. don't think that this wasn't part of the goal. Get everybody on it, sharing information, store all that information, and analyze everything everybody says. I mean, they're almost there. The cherry's almost on top. All right. I don't know how much more of this. This is a massive article. This would take like an entire show for me to get through this. You know what? I'm going to leave this one open, and we're going to hit this tomorrow because we got about a minute and a half left. Trying to think if there was anything else that we could hit. Anything else? Oh, yes. How about this one? Talking about the government always keeping us safe. Here we go. This is one that got missed, apparently, in my daily browse.
Tonight, David, thanks. And this evening, a stunning revelation here from the Pentagon. Hundreds in trouble, allegedly using their Pentagon-issued credit cards for gambling, strip clubs, racking up staggering bills. Government credit cards, it's your money, and we ask, have they paid it back? Here tonight, ABC's Martha Raddatz.
From Las Vegas to Atlantic City and casinos in between, Pentagon employees have been using their government credit cards to rack up charges on gambling and adult entertainment like strip clubs.
Pentagon employees, yes, where? Whoops, we don't know how much anthrax has been shipped out or to where, but they spent $1 million on strippers and gambling. Yes, yes, people, it is all about keeping us safe. Hold on.
Just 1 year, a Pentagon audit found more than 5,000 such transactions. The cost? Nearly $1 million spent at gambling establishments and close to $100,000 charged at those adult venues. There has already been discipline.
But don't worry about it, people, because guess what? Obama says that cyber attacks will accelerate.
I've known for a long time that there are significant vulnerabilities and that these vulnerabilities are going to accelerate as time goes by. Both.
There we go. All right, we are out of time. Make sure you stick around. It's Tuesday. Kevin is in Vienna for a month or two, so I'm hoping that somebody will step in for him. Mr. Chuck Ocelli is live tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. And then we have Behind the Woodshed, Hal Anthony this week, double-crossed with Chuck at 10 p.m. Eastern. Anthony Media Radio with S.M. Gibson at 11. All right, guys, everyone have an awesome Thursday. We will catch up with you tomorrow.